On today's episode of Secrets to Scaling Your E-Commerce Brand, I had a chat with AI expert Alan Densler from Get It AI. We talked all about AI sales agents, what the future looks like. We talked about the company that they are forming right now, and they're in early beta right now with AI sales agents. It is absolutely phenomenal. I've seen the videos. Guys, you are definitely going to want to hear about this conversation. This is the future. Really, really excited about this conversation. You're not going to want to miss this one. Hey guys, Jordan West back with another episode of Secrets to Scaling Your E-Commerce Brand. Oh, I'm looking forward to this conversation today. It's interesting. On this podcast, we have not talked a lot about how we're implementing AI in e-commerce. And it's interesting because we are actually implementing a lot of AI. And I think that one of the reasons why I'm not talking about it a lot is just because we're testing so many different things and it's such a new category. There's so many new things that are happening with it. And it's like, you know, when AI is bad, right? Like you can tell when people are using ChatGPT for copywriting. We all can tell that. And nobody really likes it. It's not like it adds like a ton of value. Now, I think that it does add a ton of value in certain areas of copy. Absolutely. When you're just trying to like just get information out. Now, when you're trying to be Jordan and write like Jordan does, I don't think that ChatGPT quite does a great job of doing that yet. But there's so many different elements to AI. And that's why I brought Alan on the podcast today. We met at Shop Talk back in March. And I was really, really interested in their product and in what they're doing for AI. So Alan, before we get started, tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
All right. Yeah. Thanks a lot, Jordan. I mean, it's a pleasure to be here. I am the CEO and founder, one of the founders of Get It AI. And before I did that, I had a track record. I started in sales myself. I've been a sales rep. I was in pharma back in the day for Merck & Co. 1.5 years just going from doctor to doctor and learning that experience. Went into marketing. Then I switched over into software and did like a startup in the sales engagement space where, again, it was all about making these human sellers better at what they do in terms of selling. And then when we exited there, we're like, hey, this is something that now with this new era of AI, these guys are great sellers. Let's try to get them to be good at selling. So now we found that startup, Get It AI, and we're all about now, you know, making the online space a completely different experience than what it was the last 2 decades.
So I want you to explain to our audience, like, what exactly is an AI sales agent? Because, you know, like when you and I first started talking about it, I'm like, okay, like how is this? I thought this was like a chat bot. It's like, okay, awesome. Good. Love introducing AI into chat. That's great. Can you explain though what exactly this is and why it's so, so transformative?
Yeah. So I think the reason that it's very different to what we've all experienced is that it's not, you know, it takes it to the personal human level. Because we bring brands to life. We give them a face and a voice, literally. Because what we put together are digital humans. We don't do this ourselves. We work with the best in class partners that have these streaming avatars. But we have the brand owners often case personify themselves, or they take some brand ambassador they already have, or hire a model, whatever that actually works there. But you can decide now. And I was a brand manager, like I mentioned before, myself in marketing. And that was still the day we're still printing out stuff. Like all you could do is just say, how should it sound? Like maybe what kind of, you know, was it more like an eagle or a tiger in terms of tonality? That's it. But now this is a new experience. We're actually asking people like, what do you want your seller to be like? So then there, like one example we had for this digital music company that they made, they wanted to have it kind of like a guitarist, musician, as a bit edgy, you know, slightly arrogant, but like,
I got to see this. I got to see this, by the way, guys. It was really, really interesting. You guys talked it at MIT or something like that. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. We were invited last week to go to the AI Summit, Imagination in Action, over in Boston at MIT. And we got an onstage live demo and we showed the guitarist salesperson there. And it's just like, it's a very different way to go and buy something if you enter the store. And first of all, we do not believe in calling these sessions. I think one of the basic problems is like the mindset of thinking of people on online store in sessions is not what you would treat a customer that walks in the door of your store. This is a virtual store. That's all it is. It's a website, yeah, but it's a virtual store. These are all for us engagement. They're all visitors that are coming in. Our agent, as like you can imagine, it's like this call, like this setup here. It's video-based, kind of Zoom-like engagement. They come out and say, hey, man, I'm this and this person. I know everything there is to know about this brand. If you want anything, just let me know. And then they minimize and they wait until the person opts in for that engagement. And if they do opt in, it takes over the screen. And from there on, it's no longer about finding, it's no longer about seeking things. It's like, I want to just find them. Have somebody there to guide me then. I can just say, hey, what am I looking for? And they might ask a few questions back. They narrow down the selection to 3-4 things. Then you're like, oh, I like that one. And then they bring you to the detail page and show you like a summary of all the reviews and say, hey, the most things that are said about this, positive ones here, negative ones there. They just basically want you to not leave the site because we believe a lot of kind of the drops that we see are like 97% of the people don't buy anything if they go onto an online store. And and if you can just be there and just answer all the questions that they have, basically striking while the iron's hot, you're going to see 3-4x improvements in conversion rates because it's so transformational.
I bought some cheap Nikes recently and I don't know why I did it. I regret this every single time. And so after 3 months, the heel was already wearing through and the plastic part was like digging into my heel. And I'm like, okay, I need new shoes. I really need new shoes. And I went with my 4-year-old son, who's my youngest, and he is a psycho. And I went into these stores and I was like, I just want help right away, right? I cannot wait around. I just want help right away. And I had 3 shopping experiences like this with my son, nothing. And so finally I told my wife, I'm like, I need to just go on my own. And I finally, so the big thing was I came in and I sat there for probably 10 minutes before anybody even came and talked to me. Like nobody even talked to me the entire time. Imagine that same experience on your website, right? Like people come in and they just want to know what to buy. When I go into a restaurant, I always ask them like, can you give me the menu? You know, the one that just tells me what to buy. Like I don't want a Cheesecake Factory menu. I just want one that tells me what to get today. Just the specials. That's all that I want. And so yesterday I had this beautiful experience going right into the Nike store, immediately greeted, immediately, hey, what kind of shoes have you had in the past? What's wrong with these ones here? And they brought me straight to the shoe that I've had the greatest experience ever with in the past, but I forgot what it was called. And so I found it and I was like, this is the greatest experience. Now imagine that same experience on a website. And I really think that's what you guys are trying to do here. Hey guys, just a quick note from me. You know, if the beginning of this year has been absolutely brutal for ads, you are not alone. There's a lot of people out there that are absolutely struggling. Now, we have not been seeing nearly the carnage that a lot of you out there have been seeing at AppGrowth Commerce. And so I put together this master document. It took me hours upon hours to put together for you guys. And I want to give it to you guys for absolutely free. And so this walks through the 3 big fixes that we're seeing to fix your Facebook ad account in 2024. And I really do think that this is the way. Again, we're not seeing those issues barely at all in any of the accounts. And we handle a lot of accounts between the brands that I own, between everyone else that we work with at AppGrowth Commerce. We're just not seeing those same issues that a lot of people are seeing. And so I've identified these 3 huge buckets and I've got a master document that walks through all of that. So if you guys want to go to www.upgrowthcommerce.com/ad problems. That's upgrowthcommerce.com/ad problems and download the resource from there. I think that you guys are going to get a ton from this document and hopefully be able to turn your ad account around. Now, remember, if this is not an issue for you, that's totally okay. But if you are having issues with your ad account in 2024, I highly recommend going and downloading that resource again, upgrowthcommerce.com/ad problems. Now back to today's episode.
Exactly. 100%. I think what you're saying is an interesting aspect, actually, that thanks to retail being such an expensive channel, having actual human beings standing there, like if you, and then you start cutting costs and all of a sudden the service level drops and you have experiences like you described. So we're always trying to say, we're trying to mimic like this in-person experience that you have in a physical store and merge that with e-commerce, which for the last 2 decades, we've just come to accept. It's a lonely search experience, takes a lot of time. You end up having 50 browser tabs open and you're frustrated. I mean, not always, you know, people that are better than that, others are worse. I've had a time, I think it for me, the revelation came when I, you know, we had to kind of furnish a new apartment and I went there and I went to start from zero, I had to get everything. So that's when all of a sudden it was not just one e-commerce decision that you do or a personal decision you do every week or so, every, I don't know how you do it. It was like lots of them over 2-3 months and it was like, it felt more and more frustrating. So that's to your point then afterward, maybe a good one, right? I'll take that up into my repertoire thing. Actually, the in-person experience might even be worse than if you now have this mimic digital human online, because you can be certain that every time they're going to be there because the cost is virtually nothing. We're running on it. Like, you know, we pay what we kill and we eat what we kill. So it's on a success fee basis. So we don't have any base salary or anything like that that they have to worry about. It's just, we believe that we can sell. You put us there. We engage for the ones, like you said, for the ones that want that. They're still going to be like in an online, like in a physical store. There's still going to be people coming in. They know exactly what they want. They just type it in there. They find it. And others like you are going to be like, I had this great experience. And I don't know exactly anymore what shoe it was. And you helped
but
them.
But shoe shopping is different, right? Shoe shopping is one of those ones that's a little bit different because you have to talk to someone, right? You can't just go and take, like, you have to have somebody come and bring you a size. And so it's inherently one where you're gated And hopefully there's going to be somebody that's there that's actually going to help you, because if they don't, then you are going to just have a bad experience. And so think about for all these shoe brands. It's interesting at our Upgrowth Commerce, we've had these massive shoe brands come in recently. We just had another like, I don't know, $10 billion shoe brand put a form in today. And I was like, huh. This is really interesting because I understand the pain. One of my best friends owned a shoe brand for years as well. And I understand the pain of shoe shopping because it's such, it's like buying a mattress, right? It really goes across your entire life. Like if you have bad shoes, you're going to be in pain, right? Like in your legs, in your back and all of this stuff. And so you want to trust somebody to do that. Now, here's the question. How can we trust an AI agent? Like people will know that this is an AI agent, right?
Yeah, we have to declare it even. We have to declare it because, I mean, we're also active in the EU, and the EU AI Act actually determines that if it's a kind of an avatar that looks like a deepfake, you know, it's a positive version of deepfake, what we're doing here, we have to put it out there. We have a little label there that says, and you give it a name and it says AI avatar, you know, so that you know, because it's become so photorealistic.
I think that's the right thing to do as a Canadian too, who's not, you know, America's just a different place. And I think like as a Canadian, I'm like, yes, 100%. I think that we should be super upfront letting people know, by the way, this is an AI avatar who's probably going to do a much better job than a human.
Yeah. And I think there's intricate things that are positive that you don't think about immediately. We've had some like initial feedback from consumers that are the buyers that are like, hey, you know, sometimes I'm hesitant to engage with someone and talk about things because it is a human. But now if it's a digital human, I'm actually going to have less hesitancy because I know this is a computer I'm talking to.
Guys, I'm going to need you to do me a favor right now and block your calendar off from June 17th through the 19th, because you, me, and everyone else in the e-commerce industry is going to be in Dallas at Sub Summit. Honestly, I cannot wait for this event. It's the largest meetup in the world for subscription and membership brands. The CEO sent me an email with a preview of this year's attendees. Okay, listen to this lineup. Walmart, Feastables, Forbes, NBC, Harry's Razors, Zumba, SoundCloud, Obvi, Pretty Litter. That's 9 brands. And he told me there's going to be more than 2,000 people there. It's not just your regular event, by the way. They're hosting workshops, peer group discussions, one-on-ones, and even an award ceremony. Are you kidding me? Go to subsummit.com and learn more. They're not trying to sell you. They're just trying to find you the best possible thing.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't agree on the first part. So we are representing brands. So they're trying to sell you, but they are there to listen to you, and they're not going to be judgmental. They're going to be just listening and trying to find a solution for you. That's what I would say. They're trying to sell. Like, it is our objective to sell. You know, you can determine as a brand owner if it should be like a bit more aggressive, or if it's just like more of this kind of guiding consultative selling that's up to kind of each individual's brand and their style. But the part about the not being human is you can be much freer. You know that this person is not going to be, you know, remembering you, even maybe they have a relationship as in a memory somewhere. But yeah,
I think what I'm trying to get at is that when you go into any sort of interaction like that, any sort of sales interaction, you and I probably have them all the time, right? Mm-hmm. There is sometimes this air of ulterior motives, right? That you're like, what else are you incentivized on in the background? I'm sure you can create these incentives for the robot. Like, I have no doubt that you can do that. But I feel like you would be talking to something that is just a little less ulterior motives. Is that right? Or has it gotten so good that maybe that I'm actually wrong?
I think it depends. I think in the future, because I think what would be possible is that you can make it in a much more subtle way. So I personally, like you say as well, we get sold to a lot. And as a salesperson by heart, I like it if somebody sells it to me in a good way. I like being pitched to me in a good way. I hate salespeople that are like just so blunt. So in that sense, if I transform that to what we're doing, I think that we should be as human as can. You know, we don't want to go into this uncanny valley. Like, we don't want to be like this cartoon or something that's like very, it should be like a human experience. And we have, like I mentioned, we have the partners that are helping us, state-of-the-art, like psychographic analysis in terms of saying what state of emotion are you in right now? Because if you're like somehow nervous or so, probably you should respond differently, like humans do automatically. As the more natural it gets, and the more this becomes something that and really has this empathy inside and has this human touch inside, the less you are actually feeling sold to, right?
Gotcha,
I would still say that representing the sales kind of arm of it, we're not a buying agent, we're a sales agent. So we're still going to have patterns in there because we recognize that's just the reality. But again, if you sell it in a nice way and subtle way, and you don't feel it's like pushed upon you, and you have a negative feeling after like the post purchase, and you're like, oh God, this is like, this gets sold to me, I'm going to return it again. That's typically anyways not a very sustainable strategy, right? So that's, I think, how I would answer that.
Right now with these AI sales agents, I've seen them like, it's a human, right? Like it's based off of a human. You haven't like created, like you've actually created this from a human. And how many minutes did you say that you need? Like, it's only like 3 or 4 minutes of video.
It's 3-4 minutes of video. Exactly. And we even work with OpenAI premium voices now, which you can have these like emotional pitches. So you have to read a script that then has those different, like, you know, I'm broadcasting, now I'm excited, now I'm more, you know, and then that becomes, I mean, if you ever tried OpenAI's ChatGPT where you like read aloud, you listen to that,
I do it like all, a, like an actor. All the time.
Yeah, that like an actor,
if you have kids, how could you not?
Yeah,
I get, I get her, I get Sky, the Sky voice, to read stories all the time. And I talk to Sky quite often. So interesting, actually, I want to tell you a story. So this time, actually, right around this time last week on Friday, I am now 10 days off of caffeine. And I was three days off of caffeine this time last Friday. And if anyone's ever done that before, who's a heavy caffeine user, and I'm like a three or four, you know, Americano a day. So I was calculating that. I'm like, oh, so that's between like 600 and 800 milligrams of caffeine a day. That's a lot of caffeine. And I decided to go off of caffeine completely. It was a challenge from my mentor. And I thought, yeah, I can do that. I've gone off of a lot of vices this year. And he said, you know, I think this is a good one for you as far as like your sympathetic nervous system. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to do it. And I will tell you, this time I canceled a couple of podcasts I had on Friday because I was so down. And I wasn't suicidal, but I will tell you, I was like in the deepest feelings that I could. I was like, what is the point of any of this? So I thought, oh, you know, I'm just going to talk to ChatGPT. And so I talked to the Sky voice back and forth. And she was so comforting. And at one point even laughed when I said, am I going to be okay? Am I going to survive this? And she's like, oh, of course you're going to be okay. I'm like, how is this possible? Like, it was more reassuring, I will tell you, than any friend or loved one that I would have called. They would have been like, oh, get over it. No, you don't have coffee. Okay. And it was just this incredibly empathetic experience. And I still understood that it's just a robot and an algorithm, and, or I guess not an algorithm, you call AI. And it was incredible. It was incredible. And so if you can bake that into a sales agent, I can't imagine how powerful that would be.
Yeah. I think you're basically selling it for me. The idea is exactly that. Like, I think anybody that has that experience already just in text mode or reading it aloud to you will then now also have this digital appearance. It automatically makes it feel a lot more like the brand is speaking to you back, right? And then if that then, you know, has, I personally as well, if I'm interacting with Gen AI product, I'm having conversations with them, I start saying thank you and please to that, to a machine.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's the transformation we went to in a year. And now, and then like you were saying, I think the difference is that they're not expecting anything from you. They're there for you anytime. They don't have any like slot of time that they allocate to you.
They have no needs, right?
You know, like, yeah, exactly. So it's kind of a new realm where you can now have this safe space on. And that's why we think it's, you know, we in the beginning we were saying this is a human-like experience, and we said it's like it's indistinguishable from a human. But I think we're going to the level we're saying it's going to be even better than having a human engagement in a store. Because of all the reasons we just mentioned, you know, I think we're going to get to point. And by the way, they have perfect recall and infinite memory. So that's not too bad either. So you can start all of a sudden having like exactly knowing what people have purchased in the past for so long that it makes it again more relevant to you as Jordan coming in and saying, didn't I purchase this shoe once before? Like, yeah. Oh, shoes. You purchased these two before. Which one did you like more? And make a picture maybe of it even and say, oh, that one. There you
totally.
Go. To save me 10
hey,
minutes.
Maybe we don't. So I bought the Pegasus 40 from Nike. And I think that they continually update. There was like a 38, a 39, and a 40. And I'll bet you that 40 is going to be deprecated at some point, right? And so I can imagine this AI sales agent being like, hey, look, here's why it's gotten so much better. And here's why you got to go with 41. Right. I can find you 40 somewhere on the internet, but you're going to be much happier with 41. But like, imagine having that experience. That to me would be like, you no longer have to train people on how to sell because these AI models actually know how to sell. What I'm wondering about is what's the range like as far as like what they can answer? Because is it only this very narrow range and it'll just say, hey, I don't know on a lot of things? Or is it trained on a fairly large range even outside of a product catalog?
That depends a little bit how you set it up. So I want to say two things as well. Like, you know, we don't just know everything, right? It's basically enough because that would be dangerous. We don't want it to know everything because we also don't want it to be talking about other brands as well, for example.
Gotcha.
So you kind of give it some guardrails, and you give the guardrails in two ways. One, we just help connect all the knowledge sources. These are typically in very different locations and just, you know, not unified in one. So that we just call it like a brain. So we have the brain. We talked already a lot about the face and the voice, but then you give it a brain. That's then the part where, you know, we as humans are defined by that a lot of times, right? So there you define a lot of those things. You say, hey, here's my website. Here's my Shopify store. Here's my, you know, knowledge base on Confluence, whatever data source you have. Google file drives, audio recordings even. Like you can record everything that's currently saved in here, record it, and then we have one fragment salesperson actually doing that right now. Like, and then the other mention is like, by the way, once you have the brain, then the website's not the only channel you can have these conversations on. You can also have the conversation in Insta DMs. That was one use case because we know that.
That's right. Well, we talked about that when that was one of the big ones that at Shop Talk, I was like, well, this would be so perfect to integrate into Instagram DMs and have an actual human conversation within there. Yeah. Now, is that happening on text or is that happening on like with video?
So we're starting with that with text. There might be use cases where you just generate a video and send it over. Maybe like as an opening, as a starter to invite them to come to the website or so. That might be a good way. But the point's just like what I want to say is like if you have the brain all of a sudden and you just the channel is just the tool you give it like you would a human because these are digital humans. They have a face and a voice on the web. They don't have to have a face and a voice. If I text you like I did before, you know,
totally.
Hey, here's this, look at that. I know you, you know me. I gave you a short snippet. It's shorter. It's to the point. I adjust myself to that channel. So I think one of the other things that has been talked about for a long time is omnichannel in e-commerce. And for me, always, if somebody's talking about something so long, there's no good solution yet, right? So I think as a byproduct, we're just getting rid of that. There's a new concept that it was coined by The Economist for like the omni-star for like actors and stuff. I'm calling it the omni-brand because now it's no longer omni-channel. It's just like basically you're everywhere all the time because of that brain. And you just give that brain any channel that you think is relevant for you and represent you there in a conversational manner like a human. So that's just kind of like how brands in the future are going to be. And every brand is going to need one of those agents. There's some competitors in the space now. It's kind of like websites, you know, around 2000 there, everybody needs a website. Then everybody needs a social profile and everybody needed like a mobile app. Now everybody's going to need an agent of this. Like this is just going to be a must. And if we look back in 5 years, it's no longer going to be, oh, should I have one of these? It's just going to be one of those things that everybody has. Now it's just a question.
When you go and have this experience on a website and then you go to a site that doesn't have this, I think that you'd be shocked, right? It's like when we go to like a WordPress 2012 site and we're like, what is this? Like, no, I need some, there needs to be some functionality around all this, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Now, are there different agents for different avatars that come to your site? Or is it generally just one sort of face of the brand when they come to your site?
It's interesting you say that. We've had actually in very early days already like this request that how do you actually, you know, so the nice thing of having digital humans now is that you can detach it from this retail necessity of having to have an employee, which is within somehow commutable distance, and then you get the best you can get in that location. Now, all of a sudden, you know, I'm at Swiss, and so we have Roger Federer, who's like this brand ambassador for On Shoes, speaking of shoes and buying shoes. Why shouldn't Roger Federer be selling at least the tennis shoes, maybe all the shoes that On has in there? But you could then go and say, well, if you're looking for tennis shoes, well, guess what? Roger's here to give you advice on which tennis shoes to buy. And if you're looking for basketball shoes, well, here's, I don't know who On has sponsored on the basketball side. Here's this basketballer from the NBA that can give you advice. You're completely detached.
I got to stay on the On side, everyone. I was buying On shoes like, I don't even know how many years ago. I was a paramedic at the time. I think it was almost 10 years ago that I was buying On shoes. And they used to be like really chunky and annoying, the bottoms. And so I would always have, but I love them. They were my very favorite shoes in the world. And so now I come and I see, like I go into shoe stores. I'm like, On is here. Like I had to buy it at like a very boutique sort of place at like this running store, like specifically somewhere out near Vancouver, because it was like barely carried anywhere. And now I see them everywhere. I'm like, this is a good brand. This is a very good brand. So I just, sorry guys, I'm just throwing that out there that, you know, early adopter on this one. Okay. Guys, I'm going to need you to do me a favor right now and block your calendar off from June 17th through the 19th, because you, me, and everyone else in the e-commerce industry is going to be in Dallas at Sub Summit. Honestly, I cannot wait for this event. It's the largest meetup in the world for subscription and membership brands. The CEO sent me an email with a preview of this year's attendees. Okay, listen to this lineup. Walmart, Feastables, Forbes, NBC, Harry's Razors, Zumba, SoundCloud, Obvi, Pretty Litter. That's 9 brands. And he told me there's going to be more than 2,000 people there. It's not just your regular event, by the way. They're hosting workshops, peer group discussions, one-on-ones, and even an award ceremony. Are you kidding me? Go to subsummit.com and learn more.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I also saw the same because in here in Switzerland, we're a Swiss American company. I'm based in Zurich though. They're here. People ring all the time. I'd never thought that they would go and compete against Nike and Adidas and all those big giants like out there. But I think they're at that point now. But the point is more like it embodies this. It has this really prominent brand ambassador to make this example stick. You can actually have anybody there now to sell. And they're the most expert person. And then to your point, why not actually then say you can choose or maybe even allocate, you know? When I was in sales, we had this case study we saw from my call centers back then, it was still where they had an incoming call. They would have still a human screening it, be like, hey, you know, talking a few sentences and then kind of categorizing them, what type of personality they are, and then matching them automatically in the back end to the right person to have a good connection with, right?
That's
so that you could also imagine. I mean, AI-wise, we're anyways going to do it. We're going to be like, we know how to do it differently if the person comes in a different way. But if then also the appearance can modify and the tonality can change, then it makes it even more deep in terms of connection that you can get. So we can go a very long way. We're still scratching the surface here. And, you know, we're talking some of these things are like visions that we still have. They're not here today, but this is going to be going very, very fast. We didn't even think that streaming avatars are going to be here until Christmas Day. And like a little Christmas present that I saw that announced, like, hey, that's possible now. So it's very bleeding edge to have that there. But now you see in Gen AI, these things just go very, very fast. It's light years within a few months already.
It really is. So Alan, walk me through how this actually looks on a website. Like, what's the experience like when somebody comes? Are you able to integrate with Shopify already? Like, what is this going to look like now? And then what will it look like in the future?
Yeah, that's a good question. So we're starting with Shopify. It's not, doesn't should be limited just to that, but just to keep it simple and to move fast right now, we are limiting ourselves to Shopify. We are also like taking a step back and saying there's not only a conversion problem in commerce. That's why we also speak about buyers and like sales agents and not like shoppers and stuff. Because there's also the exact same thing happening in PLG, like product-led growth software service companies that are doing B2B. They're there. They don't have the money because it's still quite cheap. They don't have the money to put salespeople behind it, but they have a conversion problem. So like we're taking that one step back. So we have commerce is definitely our starting point. There's no incumbent sales reps right now there. But the same thing is also applicable to SaaS. That's one mention. And then, sorry, just repeat the question again. It's got drifted away.
Just what is the experience going to actually look like when people come? Right. So you're integrating with Shopify. Like, what is that going to look like? Is this a whole new site experience? Is this somebody that pops up in the middle? What does it look like on mobile? I'd love to just know the kind of the nuances of that.
Yeah. So first off, I think it is important to be there in the beginning. Like, so we are kind of asking brands that put us on the store. It's like, at least let us greet the person coming in like you would in a physical store. You might not
like
want
a full screen takeover.
There. Just like in the middle, you have that video avatar appearing and being like, hey, like I said, I'm this and this guy. I know everything that you need to know. If you want any guidance, just let me know. And then you kind of respectfully get smaller and shrink and wait. You have this video paused here. Like, hey, you're
gotcha.
The owner
okay.
or the brand or whatever. And then if you tap on it, then it goes full screen takeover. And there's the videos and there's like the presenting space where they can present stuff to you. And there, like one important distinction we make there is that we don't want to just kind of iframe this and just show you the website that's there already, because there's a very different experience if you're searching for something on your own or if somebody talks you through it and guides you. You know, so it's like giving a presentation and you have slides behind you. If it's like there's lots and lots of text there, people just stare at the slides and try to read the slides and you're trying to talk to them. That's not optimal. So we have enough experience in that regard there that we're saying it's like this agent first experience. So it's still, and we want to have the themes that brands have to make it their own, to make it look like it's their kind of personality in terms of the UI, but much lighter. You know, if you want them, if it's long and you want them to read it, you can also present that as text and say, hey, read this if you want, if you're more interested, but you summarize it for them within 30 seconds and then they can continue. If the 30 seconds is enough, if they want to dive deeper, they dive deeper. So we kind of have this multimodality in it and it's all optimized to kind of have this guidance and have the option to dive deeper if you wish to, right? So you present, hey, here's a few video reviews, and then you let them watch the video if you want. And that's, they can do that on their own. And then if they want to continue and pick it up again with you, then you just continue that kind of, we don't call it path to purchase, we call it conversation to purchase.
I love it. Alan, you guys have a beta right now. Are people able to get in on this beta? And how do they do that? If I'm sure lots of people are listening to this being like, ooh, Jordan, I want access to this. Like, how do they do that?
Yeah, good point. So we've got an early access to beta program that we actually are charging a small fee for that because there's been a lot of demand, as you can imagine. So that's something we're open to having discussions. So just kind of ping me on LinkedIn, Alan Densler, and I'll get back to you and we can hook up a conversation. And this thing set up quite quickly. We have some larger brands that we're talking to. We make custom demos also, like with a little bit of video footage and some input already. We can kind of create a mini brain version already. And then you're out there selling it as if it's kind of like on your website already. It looks pretty cool.
Wow. Alan, thank you so much for coming on and talking about this. I really appreciate your time. So we're going to make sure to put any of your links down in the show notes today. So for you guys to get a hold of Alan, again, just go to LinkedIn. We'll have that link down in the show notes. Really, really appreciate your time. Are there any parting thoughts that you want to give our audience?
Yeah, well, I like to have a visionary kind of a exit here. There's a very famous phrase from the painter Picasso that he once said. He said, I do not seek, I find. And I think that's how we want to phrase this. We've had two decades of being there and seeking, and we're now transitioning to finding. And we can also imagine, like, from Google it to get it. And that's what we're kind of here to do. So I look forward to kind of being
get it
at,
AI.
This, at the front, exactly, at the front of this transformative journey we have ahead of us.
This has been really cool. I think I'm going to look back on this conversation in years and hopefully like I did with On, you know, and be like, oh yeah, I remember. I remember when he was on, you know, right at the beginning. And now this is just the standard across every single site. I remember back in the day, We Were Gorgeous as one of their very first customers. And I remember talking to the CEO and doing all of the stuff back and forth. And I was like, oh yeah, this is going to take off for e-com. And now it's, you know, obviously the biggest help desk on e-com. Yeah. And it's just interesting. So just so you guys know, I'm not an early adopter. Never. I'm usually late. I'm only saying these few times that I have been. So, and I think that this is one of those times. And early adoption in AI is going to be really interesting because I think the cycle is so ridiculously fast that early adoption is going to be like this time next year that we look back and be like, wow, remember when we didn't have AI sales agents?
I really think that we're at one of those moments because I have two kids and I think that I'm going to be telling them, or they're going to be asking me, Dad, did you actually drive a car once? And I'm going to be like, totally. Yeah. And they're like, wasn't that really scary? You know, like the same way we're going to be like, how did you actually find products if you just had like no sales agent there? How did you just go and like Google was not that good, you know? So I look forward to that.
I was in a full self-driving Tesla the other day and I was like, oh, okay, this is good enough. This is like so much better than a regular driver. So this is like within, especially with all the data that Tesla is getting right now, there is no doubt that that's going to just be the normal within a...
Yeah,
I'll just bet the you beginning. That tech-wise but... No, I was going to say,
it's going to go from like...
You go, Alan. You go.
Okay, so I'm just saying that's just the beginning. I think Tesla is still not going far enough. There's other ones. There's like they say, we're not doing it for drivers anymore. We're doing it for riders. And then you can transform it because then you're like facing one another where the horses used to pull you, right? That kind of experience will change the way you commute. And all of a sudden you can commute for 2 hours and you don't care.
Totally. Yeah. Or you may want to.
Or yeah. You know? Yeah. You may want to commute longer. Yeah, exactly.
Alan, thank you so much for your time today. This was awesome. Guys, remember everything we talked about today will be down in the show notes. Alan Densler, thank you for your time.
It was a pleasure,
thank
Jordan.
You. This was awesome.
Let's stay in touch. Yes. So let's start.
Yeah. When, yeah
how
yes,
long do you
absolutely,
take to turn this around
some,
and get a...
I'm going to find some brands to send your way. For betas. Cool. I'll find some bigger brands.
Appreciate it. That's going to be fun. Like you see, I mean, you get it. That's really cool. You definitely get it to stay on branch.
Yes.
That's not everybody does. Some of the people listening to like, wow, okay, looks interesting.
Oh, no, I get it. I 100% do. Yeah. All right.
Super. Okay, cool. All right. Have a good afternoon. See ya. Ciao.
Yeah, you too. Bye. Here's something to put on your calendar this June. It's called Sub Summit, and it's the largest meetup in the world for subscription, membership, and e-commerce brands. Walmart, Forbes, Harry's, every single company in the industry is going to be there, and I don't want you to miss out. It's not going to be your regular event, by the way. They're hosting workshops, peer group discussions, one-on-one meetings, and even an award ceremony. Are you kidding me? Go get your ticket now at subsummit.com and join me in Dallas on June 17th. I seriously cannot wait.